Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How in the world did we get here? This is Wretched Radio. Let's go back in time, shall we? It was a time when a growing number of women felt that their voices needed to be heard, that there was not equity in society, that men were patriarchal and women were being suppressed. And a group of women got together for what we know today as first wave feminism. And it is my experience, and I've even said it myself, that first wave feminism, it started out with goals and agendas I think we'd all agree with today. That we would say, yeah, of course, women can be educated. Women can work. Women can vote. We would all, yes, of course. And that there should be no distinction between male and female in regards to value. However, was reading an article at The Spectator by Carrie Gress. She's written a book on the history of feminism. And she makes the case pretty powerfully that first wave feminism isn't what it appeared to be. On the surface, it was just the right to vote. The suffragettes wanted to vote. But what this book is telling us is that there was a whole lot more going on behind closed feminist doors in an effort to do a lot more transformative work in our culture than just allowing women to vote. And that is why Carrie Gress makes the argument, hey, before you slap a moniker on first wave feminism, like, hey, it's better that first wave feminism is good. It was second wave and third wave that were problematic. She says, no, feminism has been a problem from the beginning. Its roots are baked in Marxism. Let me share with you from this article. Her book is titled The End of Woman: How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us. Again, it's at thespectator.org. During the first wave, large numbers of women became activists promoting suffrage, male chastity, temperance. All good. The women's rights movement, however, was far from tidy and unified. Some were indeed motivated by Christian principles. Others, especially the feminist movement's leaders, their inspiration wasn't from the Bible. It was from Enlightenment, socialism, and all kinds of eclectic and esoteric thinking philosophies. These new ways of thinking made the first wave far more radical and liberal than most realize. It was no prim and proper Victorian Tea Party. Did you know that? I didn't. I've been one of the voices that went first wave, thumbs up. And I think we would agree that the goals of the first wave publicly were laudable. And as Christians, I don't think we should have any problems with those. But that is not the point of this book. The worldview that was gurgling, and I mean gurgling underneath, is anything that we would say, yeah, let's go with that. And it explains why it is that second wave and third wave feminism exist. If you're not familiar with second wave and third wave is separating the procreative act from the procreative consequences. In other words, you can be frisky all you want because it is just fine to take the life of your child. And by the way, did you see the Bill Maher clip? Bill Maher, who on occasion, like a blind bulb, finds the squirrel twice a day in the shed, he'll say something that's somewhat reasonable. Well, recently he was responding, like everybody else was, to Donald Trump's waffling on the life position. And he said this, brace yourself.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is.
Hello. Kind of. It either is or it isn't. FYI, this isn't the first time Bill Maher has said that. This is inside of his garage where apparently he sits with celebrities getting drunk and smoking pot.
I do think it's murder and I'm completely okay with it.
Thank you. Second wave feminism, which then led to third wave feminism, which is the separating not of the procreative act with the procreative consequences, but separating genders. What is a woman? We're so befuddled about that these days, aren't we? That's third wave feminism. First wave feminism goes way back. And if this study, if this book by Cary Gress is correct, then it makes perfect sense that out of feminism, that fertile soil of Marxism, grew all of the nonsense that we see today, thanks to the feminist movement of the first wave variety. Let me take you to excerpts from her book. Feminism, based on the explicit vision of its leaders, can be defined as an ideology characterized by three things. One, free love, the end of monogamous marriage. Two, the occult. Three, restructuring society, or what they like to label smashing the patriarchy, decolonializing us, getting rid of everything white and male. All these elements generally thought to have developed in the second wave were in fact seeded in the first. Hello. There was a variety of thought about women generally among feminism's leaders in the first wave, but there are many voices early on that were clearly anti-God, clearly anti-capitalist, clearly anti-representative republic, because we're not a democracy, we're a representative republic. They were pro-socialism, pro-Marxism. The militant tactics they carried out in the early 1900s, involving about 1,000 women, were akin to the kind of violence we witness today in organizations like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, firebombing homes, destroying businesses that didn't support their effort. Huh. They were doing that? They even tempered with the mail, applying chemicals to letters that led to significant burns on the hands of mailmen. A secret woman's club in 1912 was formed called Heterodoxy. Heterodoxy means not orthodox. It means other doxy. It does not mean traditional. It means brand new. It was called Heterodoxy, named for the club's only requirement that a woman not be orthodox in her opinion. Well-educated women in Greenwich Village, which was already a hotbed for radical notions of the socialist and communist types from Eastern Europe, Russian immigrants, the Heterodoxy Club focused on defining females as a person or human being in contrast to the normative understanding of woman as connected to fertility, children, and husbands. You got to break them free from any of those constraints or responsibilities. The founder was here's a shocker, Unitarian minister, Marie. That's all you need to know. She saw feminism as a quest to become, quote, not just our little female selves, but our whole big human selves. The humanness meant a changed psychology, a new consciousness in women. So the idea of a raising consciousness that had been used for decades already by socialists to reshape society. Socialism and feminism from the jump have walked hand in hand. Perhaps the most famous of the heterodoxy women was a socialist economist named Charlotte Perkins Gilman, believed motherhood made it impossible for women to achieve their potential. And by the way, this is a quote, it exposed children to the risks of cruel or neglectful parenting. So the idea of communal living, it takes a village. By the way, did you see Hillary Clinton's new Broadway play? Wow, what a woof. Nevertheless, already she was touting back in the first wave feminism, it takes a village to raise the children. It'll be better for the kids so that they don't get abused. What? How's about better parenting? That would be right. She authored the book Women in Economics. It's the Bible for progressive young women. Quote, the prosaic title concealed a radical vision for overturning the patriarchy in which the author compared marriage to, get ready for this, prostitution. Why do so many young women not want to get married? Thank you. That's the wafting odor of first wave feminism. These ideas, they were just tilling the soil back then, but the seeds were planted and they began to sprout in second and now third wave feminism, and the fruits, woo, are rotten. Next on Wretched Radio.
Attention Christians, are you tired of the world telling you to shut up? We are launching our biggest and boldest initiative ever, the Gospel Partners Media Fellows Program. It's our very own Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 straight shooting, theologically sound voices will be joining this ministry to create powerful podcasts, videos, resources, books, and webinars. All of the details you can find right now at wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, don't have study Bibles. The amazing Masters Academy International, don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, as you've heard by now, the cat is out of the bag. We are building a Christian Daily Wire. 8 qualified, theologically sound, and powerful voices in the evangelical world will be joining us here at Gospel Partners Media. I'm talking people like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, and others. Just visit wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 1st and 2nd Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The rotten feminist fruit we are seeing did not emanate from the 60s. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you, like, well, the rest of us, would say that the feminist movement went off the rails in the 60s. The Betty Friedans, those that wanted to separate women from having to be chained to the stove in the kitchen. Gloria Steinem, we got to liberate women so that they can be their authentic selves and live any frisky way that they want to without accepting any consequences. In other words, that they can be intimate and take the lives of their child. That second wave feminism, third wave feminism, separates women from their own gender. And that is why a new book titled The End of Woman, How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us, goes about the business of tracing the historical roots of the ideologies of second and third wave feminism and the direct line back to first wave feminism. First wave feminism, the ideals were fine. The public presentation of the goals, we would all say, yeah, we're down with that. How did it get off the rails? And the contention from Carrie Gress in The Spectator is, it never went off the rails. It just kept leaving the station further and further. In 1912, a group got together and called themselves Heterodoxy, and they met in Greenwich Village. There were 25 charter members, lesbians, bisexuals, labor radicals, socialists, to talk about women's rights, which extended far beyond education, far beyond voting. It was about smashing the patriarchy so that there could be, presumably, total equality. The second and third waves of feminism are not new manifestations of feminism. They're actually first wave feminism, full blown. Now, we got to be careful here, because on the surface of it, and there were many feminists in the first wave that were not involved in the socialism, the Marxism, the smashing the patriarchy movement, but there were enough women that were. They were a part, it was a choir, and there were a number of different voices, but theirs was there, and they were singing, and it was loud, and it cultivated the soil for what we see today as a complete obliteration of womanhood. What is a woman? Who knows these days? How did that happen? Well, didn't come from third wave, didn't come from second wave, came from the first wave. And her contention in the article at The Spectator called Think the First Wave is a Model for Women to Think Again. There are some people who are saying, well, let's just attach an adjective to first wave feminism, because everything about first wave feminism was good. And by the way, I have said many those ideals that you and I saw that were being tackled in first wave feminism, they were good. She's getting at what was going on behind closed doors, and that we shouldn't affix any sort of moniker to first wave feminism, because at its root, it was already corrupt. So here's what she said. Why would we want to build a new feminism by grafting on the adjectives conservative, pro-life, or Christian? It is a broken and distorted vision of the human person and the male-female relationship that lie at the root of the problems plaguing society today. It's a poison root. It can only bear poison fruit. We need to reject it. I think we need to do it wisely. I think we need to do it thoughtfully, because I think the perception of most is first wave feminism seemed pretty benign today. And by the way, that's also one of the problems. First wave feminism, if we are going to fix an adjective to it to kind of reclaim it, got to be careful, because their goals are radically different than the issues that we are confronted with today. We are living in the hookup culture, divorce, the LGBTQ movement, the pro-abort movement, gender-affirming surgery. All of those are the issues. And her contention is it's all because of first wave feminism. Even if feminism, she said, had been the best solution for the abuses of a bygone era, there's absolutely no reason to think that more feminism will solve the contemporary problems it has undeniably caused. And so it is, having read this article as I was reading through my stack of stories, I ran into one article after another. This was not some sort of behind closed doors effort. Let's start publishing a bunch of articles that expose feminism as being the source of so many of our cultural problems these days. It just so happened that feminism was just a part of so much of what is going on these days. Here's the headline from Fox News. New State Department diversity chief. Feminism believes U.S. is a failed historical model with a colonizing past. Isn't that nice? So the new State Department diversity chief called America a failed historical model, demanding the destruction of tradition at every juncture. Do you smell that? That smells like feminism, doesn't it? Secretary of State Anthony Blinken announced the new diversity chief, touting the woman for bringing expertise and a fresh perspective on how we build a workforce that reflects America. In other words, what's going to drive employment isn't qualifications. No, it's going to be gender, sexuality, and skin color. That would be your DEI. What are this woman's experiences? Well, she owned two companies. One was a DEI consulting firm, and Black Women Disrupt. Black Women Disrupt? Well, that's telling, isn't it? In which this woman interviewed Black women involved in creative spaces around the world. She had a whopping 125 subscribers. Bringing a fresh new voice. Here's from the article. And these again, written by separate sources. She embraces a feminist leadership style, but one that counters white-centered feminism trends and narratives. In order to make change, we've literally got to be about the work of dismantling that traditional structure at every juncture, said the new diversity chief. We cannot have equity without dismantling structural racism, patriarchy, and heterosexism. What does inclusion mean if white supremacy remains intact? She co-authored a guide titled Feminist Leaders for Feminist Goals, championing critical race theory, intersectionality, and the State Department has high confidence in this new appointee who's a feminist. Now, all stripes, all shapes, all sizes of feminism. But so much of what we are seeing in culture today has at least tentacles in feminism. More Gen Z women leaving the church than men. So this is by the Christian Post, which is on some days very similar to Fox News, but men make up a majority of baby boomers who have left the church. Gen Z, majority who leave the church, men. Millennials, majority males who leave organized religion. But guess what? With Gen Z, more women are leaving religion. And they go about the business of identifying why 61% of Gen Z women identify as, drumroll please, feminist, far more than any other generation. Oh, so feminism is affecting the church. By the way, abortion should be available without restriction. 54% of Gen Z women. No restrictions. Right up to birth. Right after birth, apparently. That's Gen Z women. They're feminists. It has its tentacles everywhere. Here's another article from the National Review. Intersectional gender studies. Why are so many people on these campuses pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza? Feminism is the contention. There's gender as technology, gender and sexuality in Korean pop culture, feminism in the age of empire, decolonization, all courses being taught at Harvard University. A recent panel at Rutgers University, sponsored by its gender studies department, had a panel called Palestine is a Queer Feminist Struggle Against Imperialism. Women need to unite with Palestine because they've been oppressed. All women are always oppressed. Therefore, they stand on the side of the oppressors. And this is from National Review. Feminist activists are certainly trying to lead the pro-Hamas movement. And dozens of colleges, dozens have signed statements of the document titled Palestine is a Feminist Issue. Is that the only cause for our cultural confusion? No, but let us not be deceived. Feminism, even of the first wave variety, most certainly is a big contributor. This is Wretched Radio.